Hey, Vaccine, are you concerned about getting rolled up in this grand conspiracy with Obama?
Obama is not a worry of me. I am not worried about Hussein. We do not care about Hussein. I'm Vaccine. Let me in the building.
What big eyes you have, Vaccine, and what a deep voice
I'm a
that I wasn't
congresswoman.
expecting. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Colorado Show, the most serious news show in the Centennial State. Treating the news of Colorado.
You can't look. Put me up. No, take me off the screen. I can't sit next to you lying like that. Sorry.
All right. It's not entirely true. The level of seriousness that it deserves, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We try.
100%. We have a relatively fun and probably stupid show prepared for you guys today. There's a lot going on. It's going to be a lot of fun. Before we get into that, we are going to hear from our incredible sponsors, and we will be right back.
If you haven't noticed, gold has reached a new high, all-time highs, actually, and keeps going up every day. Why is that? It's because precious metals are a long-time historical store of value. And if you own a portfolio and you have assets in the fiat currencies, i.e. stocks, bonds, cash, or whatever, you're vulnerable to hyperinflation, which is coming as our debt explodes another trillion every 90 days. It's really scary. So how do you protect yourself? Go to Advisor Metals. If you look on any of our CDM.press sites, about halfway down, there's an ad for Advisor Metals. Click on it, fill out the form for your contact info, and Igor Bashatsky will contact you and talk to you. It's an easy conversation. There's no sales pitch. He's completely verified by us. He has a regulatory background we've checked into. We've checked with his bankers. We've checked with his IRA custodians for metals. And we can highly recommend Advisor Metals and ERA. So go to Advisor Metals. If you call them directly, tell them we sent you at CDM, and he'll definitely take care of you. But protect your portfolio because you really need to. It's coming. Thank you.
I'm David Cross, and you may know me from my election integrity work, but I also own U.S. Asset Management, a family-owned and operated investment advisory practice. I'm a certified portfolio manager, and my job is to help you make better decisions with your money. One of the things we try to avoid is investing in companies that push the woke agenda. If you're invested with one of the big firms out there, there's a pretty good chance that you're feeding the beast that hates your values. Our company is 100% conservative, and we'd love to have an opportunity to work with you. Check us out at us-am.com and look for our big, proud American Eagle logo.
And we're back.
Yeah, that's a fact.
That's a fact. He said, look, at the end of that that ad, he says, look for our American Eagle logo. Have you seen all this American Eagle
that's
drama?
That's what I wanted to, that's what I forgot.
That was the one.
That's what I forgot to bring up. Yeah.
Yeah, we gotta get into that. Let's start with that. That'll be fun.
Okay.
That'll be fun. I'm looking. Hang on one second. Let me find that.
Talking about the Wellafin outrage.
Yeah, Sydney Sweeney is still trending.
Yeah,
and there are a bunch of people that are super freaked out.
As she should be.
By this ad.
Yes, she.
So let's watch it to see how offensive it is, because it might be.
Offend me.
If you haven't watched it and you've only listened to the narrative going around about it, it's basically Nazi propaganda. So let's see. Why is there no sound? Oh, there is.
Sydney Sweeney has her key.
Indeed, she does.
That's one of them.
I love
and
it.
There is
love it. Absolutely love it. Looks like the 90s.
Yeah, there's one more. Let me find the The longer one. But what do you think about that? Are you offended by Sydney Sweeney and her great jeans?
I'm offended by all the faces of the manatees and centaurs that I have to listen to on TikTok complaining about it. Look, if you have a problem with this, go just turn your TV off with your ugly ass. Okay? If you have a problem with hot blonde women with that are very smart, then there's a problem with you, okay? There's a problem with you. Hold on.
There's a problem with you.
Okay. So this, I don't know if this is real. Have you verified whether or not this is real? I hope it's real because it's amazing. But apparently, allegedly, maybe, this could be a spoof. To whom it may concern, we sincerely apologize for featuring Sydney Sweeney in our recent advertisement. In hindsight, we underestimated the combined impact of her blue eyes, blonde hair, and general hotness. Also, we did not realize how big her boobs would be. Our marketing team has been sent to denim sensitivity training. Thank you for your feedback. Please stop emailing us. We're still trying to recover from the group chat fallout. American Eagle.
Works for me.
I hope it's real. I don't know if it's real or not, but I hope it's real. So the thing that that gets me the most about this story is that the people complaining about it are generally eugenicists. So there are people that believe in abortion. They believe in genetic modification. They're big advocates of CRISPR and other genetic editing.
What the heck is CRISPR?
CRISPR is the gene. Here, I'll find it. I'm generally a science denier, so I will get the description wrong. So we'll look it up and let the machine tell us.
We can fix it.
Clustered regularly interspaced short palindromic repeats.
Trust the science.
Yeah. Trust the eugenics.
Shout out to all the angry manatees.
Yeah. So gene editing technology that allows scientists to modify DNA sequences in living organisms. It works by utilizing guide RNA molecules to target a specific DNA sequence. And then the Cas9 protein or other Cas enzymes cuts the DNA at that location. This can then be used to either disable a gene, introduce a new gene, or correct a faulty gene. So this is, I think it's mad science. I think it's playing God. I know that, you know, people will judge me for that and say, oh, you're just a science denier. No, I think that you guys are insane playing God and I don't trust you. I think it is highly unlikely that after Dolly the sheep was introduced to the world, the sheep that they cloned, and everybody freaked out and was like, holy shit, what are we doing? And then the story just kind of went away and we never really talked about cloning anymore. That's the kind of stuff that we see that. So the progressives on, you know, parties aren't real, but let's pretend like they are. Both sides, the bipartisan progressives, they are generally on board with eugenics. Also, they're saying that Sydney Sweeney's ad recalls this damning, horrible season of eugenics in America that was led by the same people in the same group. So they're actually, the eugenicists are complaining that the ad implies eugenics.
Haven't we figured out that most of the outrage coming from that side of the aisle is pretty much deflection? It's like
projection.
It's projection. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
So it's like, hey, I'm the only one who can do it. When you do it, it's a problem. Around. Yeah, so I think Barack Hussein Obama deported 3.5 million people, but he's only he's allowed to do it. You can't, you're not allowed to do it. It's wrong. It's cruel when you do it. Just because he built the cages doesn't mean you have to use them.
Well, it's like the Epstein thing, right? Like we never, ever, ever looked for the Epstein files. We absolutely, who's that? Oh, the name of that journalist, I think
I
she
got
was
a theory about that.
The ABC journalist. Do you remember her where she's on a hot mic being told that she had to to kill the story?
Yeah, that was that was one lady who was supposed to interview. I think she was NBC.
I thought it was ABC.
She was supposed to
tell me your theory and I'll look it up while you do.
She was supposed to interview Virginia. But here's my theory. Have you noticed that it's not the establishment, the old guard of the Democrat Party that's asking for these or pushing for these or saying that they're being hidden? It's the new age. It's the socialists, because they want to kick them out. they wanted to come out because they know it's a good chunk of the establishment was cool with them. So they want, it's a full blown sabotage that they're trying to conduct. Because I don't hear any of these old school Dems. That's her. Yeah. ABC. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She's supposed to.
I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts.
Yep.
We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who's Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will that also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton, we had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail. And now it's all coming out and it's like these new revelations and I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal. Other women backing it up. Hey, yep. Brad Edwards, the attorney 3 years ago saying there will come a day when we will realize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known. I had it all 3 years ago.
Yeah, that's real.
So not terribly surprising. But the thing that's funny is she's saying we had it all. The stuff we had was unbelievable. Why didn't she still have it? At the time that hot mic happened, at the time that it's coming out now, so you can say what you have. Why didn't she come out with that reporting then instead say what we had?
What does she do now?
I don't know. What is Amy Robach up to? Let's find out.
Yeah. She probably got a nice little visit herself. And she caved when they visited her.
Yeah, but she's like, we used to have all this information. Okay, she is co-hosting the Amy and TJ podcast on iHeartRadio that they started in December of 2023. So my guess is she got fired.
Yeah, probably.
Or maybe she left. Maybe she was like, I'm not doing this anymore, except she hasn't ever come out with everything.
If you listen to her podcast, she's probably talked about this in depth. So, yeah, but the problem is that
I'm not doing that though.
The problem is that nobody listens to a podcast. Yeah.
Don't assign me that, Aaron. That's not fair. That's cruel and unusual.
No, it's true. It's true. Nobody cares about these people and what they
do. Oh my God. Brian made me listen this morning on Badlands Daily. Brian made me listen to Cory Booker's rant on the floor of the Senate.
How far did you get into it?
Twice.
How far?
It was clips. It was like a minute and a half. Yeah. But yeah, that's torture. That's like Geneva Convention shit. Like, we have Nuremberg trials for being required to listen to Cory Booker.
Yeah.
It could be Cory a little Booker, excessive.
I saw somebody posted a clip of Cory Booker.
With the flute?
Nah. It was Joey Manarino.
Oh, I like that guy. It's funny.
Said, somebody get this dude some dick.
Yeah. His outrage is so fake, but he's also got he's got like crazy AOC eyes.
Yeah, which we need to do. Jersey. Like, shut up, fool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, should we talk about some Colorado stuff since this is the Colorado show? One thing we didn't talk about because we had to cancel the show last week. We did not talk about the Tina Peters stuff that happened.
How's my homegirl holding up in there?
Well, she's still there in prison. And it was interesting because there was a lot of people that thought she was going to get out that day. And then they were really upset when the hearing didn't end with her getting out that day. Now, it's important for people to remember that she was, you know, whether or not you believe her trial was legitimate, she was convicted by a jury. Jury convictions are notoriously hard to overturn. You've got to have real solid proof that the jury was biased by the parties or by the judge, what the judge allowed in, what the judge didn't allow in. And that is what they're pursuing on appeal. So they are pursuing her appeal. This is for her to be out on bond awaiting appeal. Now, she should be. This is a nonviolent crime, and it's insane. And she was a public official at the time that the things happened. No other public official has been treated this way. She should absolutely be out, allowed to, you know, be out on bond awaiting appeal. The reason that she's not, the stated reason that she's not, which was the subject of this hearing, big part of the subject of this hearing, is that the court said that she's too dangerous. And she's too dangerous because of her speech. And that's insane. That's insane in the United States of America. So that was the substance. Now, when we first got in there, the very first issue raised by the judge was that this is a mixed petition that you have. I'll put her up so people have a visual. This is a mixed petition that you guys have put forward, meaning that there's the judge basically said that they've asked for three, they've proposed three arguments for why she should be out on bond, but then the judge split the second one into three different pieces. So there's five. Mm-hmm. There's five kind of questions, grounds for appeal. I think I might have that in here. Let's see if I do.
I mean, how hard is it to just like thread. Look. This is an easy win. All Trump got to do is say like, okay, we're not giving you any money. Release her. Problem solved.
I think that they're already doing that a little bit. You know, they're applying pressures, we'll say.
Yeah.
But yeah. So the five grounds that five arguments, three, but the, you know, again, the second one is due process, and it's he broke it down into three separate ones. So First Amendment, this was raised to the Court of Appeals. Due process, failure to recognize retention requirements, that was raised to the Court of Appeals. Due process, introduction of evidence of the security breach, and due process, failure to conduct an inquiry into a biased juror. Those two, I believe, were not raised to the Court of Appeals. And the fifth one is immunity, which was raised to the Court of Appeals. So you see, there's two issues here that haven't been raised to the Court of Appeals and three issues that have been raised to the Court of Appeals. There was also arguments that some of the issues that have been raised to the Court of Appeals are still pending. And so this petition that was the substance of this hearing was brought in federal court. This is a state case, state conviction. And so by the rules, you have to exhaust all of your state remedies before you can go to the federal court and say, hey, my rights have been violated and I have no state remedy. The judge was basically saying, look, you've already raised three of these issues, but you haven't raised two of them. So the two of them you haven't raised, I can't hear this. I'm paraphrasing and kind of giving you my impression of what the discussion was at this point. It was like 10 days ago. So grain of salt. But the issues that you haven't yet raised with the Court of Appeals, I can't address those because you haven't exhausted your state remedies. The ones that you have raised that are still pending, I can't address because you haven't exhausted your state remedies. But the first one, the First Amendment claim, was denied by the Court of Appeals. So the Court of Appeals affirmed that her speech is too dangerous to let her out. And so the federal court, I think, did them a solid. Now, a lot of people came out and said, oh, the judge is crooked and nobody can get a fair trial and blah, blah, blah. I actually think the judge in this case is a magistrate judge. And that's important for a reason. And I'll tell you in a second. I think he did them a solid because he said, listen, you have a mixed petition. And by the rules, I have to deny a mixed petition. But you can have till the end of the week to amend it and bring it back. And what that looked like was dropping 2, 3, 4, and 5 off of this list out of this petition. And there was a back and forth discussion where Tina's attorney said to the judge, like, let me take 2 through 5. What?
Hold on, one.
Okay. Let me take 2 through 5 and set it over here. And if you like my argument on number 1, then I can pick it back up again. And the judge said, if you pick it back up again, I have to deny this petition because it's a mixed petition. And so where we ended at the hearing with regards to the arguments was that the First Amendment claim may be able to proceed. The court is still unclear as to whether or not they have the authority at the federal courts to do what they're asking. It seems unprecedented. It sounds unprecedented. The case law that was presented both in support of and against the petition wasn't a one-for-one case law. It really does seem that this is an unprecedented thing that they're asking for. But the attorneys acknowledged that in the hearing and said, listen, if there was ever a case where this is important, in fact, I think I have a pretty well quoted in my thread, which will be, yeah, this is it. So the judge said prior to this, other courts have said this is a younger issue. That's case law. And Tina Peters' counsel said that that's mind-boggling. Younger does not apply in the habeas world. There is irreparable harm being done every day. We have a person in prison because of a fear that she is a danger to society because of what she might say. If there was ever a case, this is it. No one should be in prison in the United States of America because of what they might say. If there's ever been a case where someone should be released from prison pending appeal, it's this case. This is a case where the merits outscream any equitable decisions about the jurisdiction. And so that is, are you there? Okay. Yeah.
So she's in there because of something she said.
She's in there because she was convicted and sentenced to 9 years, but she's her motion to be out on bond while her appeal is pending was denied based on what she might say.
I mean, meaning what? Like, what are they thinking she'll say?
That elections are fake. Voters are being defrauded.
How is that a wrong thing to say? She can say that from jail.
But she doesn't have a platform or any freedom to say it from jail, and they feel like they can neutralize it.
Did anybody try to interview her while she's in there?
Yeah, I've been trying to figure out how to get to her. I've talked to her attorneys, like I've talked to her friends, and it's an elusive process. I'm still working on trying to get down there to see her.
Access?
But other people have been able to interview her. So
she doesn't have phone access. Yeah. So like if she got phone access, then yeah. I mean, she can say that.
She shouldn't be incarcerated because of her speech. She also, this also was a, I think that the jury was manipulated in this case, and I covered every second of the trial, and I was, bullish on the judge at the beginning. I didn't think he was showing bias. He showed bias against the defense in the in the proceedings when the jury wasn't present towards the beginning of the trial. And Brian and I talked about this on the air. I'm like, he's obviously biased against her and more so her attorneys. He seemed really, really annoyed with her attorneys, but I didn't see him express that or present that way in front of the jury until about halfway through. And then halfway through the trial, he was getting annoyed. They kept having to limit witnesses. Like they put Dallas Schroeder on the stand and swore him in and then had a 20-minute sidebar and then just dismissed him from the stand and didn't let him speak, which was crazy because Dallas did the same thing that Tina did. He just did it a little bit of a different way and he didn't get in any trouble. They tried to prosecute him and go after him, but they couldn't because of the way that he did the images versus the way that Tina did the images. And the judge wouldn't let him speak to the jury. The judge would not let his testimony in front. And so they had already decided her guilt. Even the judge, I think, had already decided her guilt before the case was ever presented to the jury. And the trial was structured in such a way, specifically with regard to her affirmative defenses and what she was allowed to present, that trial was structured in a way to deliver a specific outcome. That's not justice. That's a show trial.
Just, I'm shocked at the fact that she's in there. Period. Like this is
dumb. Me too.
This is so dumb. Like,
yeah.
This is retarded.
Like, yeah. Like, she's a threat to the narrative. That's why. And that she's not a threat to democracy. She's not a threat to the voters. She's not a threat to the she's a threat to the government narrative.
But here's the thing: we all say that. We all say that the elections are full of shit. So, like, what makes her any different?
Well, she actually could prove it because she had images and then had the images analyzed. Dallas and Elbert County took images, but he kept them in the safe until he was compelled to turn them over to Jenna Griswold and then turn them over. He didn't give access to those images to anybody else. And so that's a key distinction. But even so, she wasn't accused or convicted of sharing the images with people for analysis. Her felonies are lying to Jenna Griswold. And it's like one lie, four people.
How is that a felony, Jenna Griswold?
Because they made it a felony. That was a big part. That was a big part of the trial, and why I say that this trial was controlled to deliver a specific outcome. Because in the wake of Tina Peters, they passed Senate Bill 22-153, which took a lot of the powers out of the county hands and put them centralized in the Secretary of State's hands, and also criminalized taking images of machines, right? Touching machines, accessing machines, et cetera. It wasn't a crime before that. It certainly wasn't a felony. It wasn't even a crime. So at the time that she was at the time of her trial, that law was in effect, but it was not the law of the land at the time that she did what she did. So this judge allowed the Secretary of State's office to qualify as an expert, a member of the Secretary of State's office. So the aggrieved party served as an expert in the case, and his expert analysis was how you can cobble together COVID-19 rule violations with the spirit and intention of the law, such that they basically convicted her of violating the law that they passed that after what she did, that wasn't in effect, like retroactively convicting her. But you can't do that in America. And so they made this cobbled together COVID rule violations and professional misconduct, turn it into four felonies and three misdemeanors of she was convicted. It was originally, I think, six felonies and four misdemeanors, but she was acquitted on three charges.
Insanity.
Well, it's not justice. And that's the thing, is that our founders and the people that, you know, framed and shaped our legal system believed with every fiber of their being that if you have a person who's probably guilty, but they don't get a fair trial, that the person gets to go free. Because the rights of the accused are so critically important in our justice system. And during the 4 years of the Biden administration, we saw that the corruption of that system, the judicial system, we saw that, you know, kind of rapidly approaching its logical conclusion. It's clown show. It's abusing the legal process. Violating the rules of procedure and the codes of conduct as a regular course of business, and nobody ever calls each other out on it inside of the system, because that's just how it is. That's just how it works. We all do it. If you need to bend something a little bit here, break a rule a little bit over there, it's no big deal, unless there's a political reason to make it a big deal, in which case you get something like a Tina Peters, or in the legal profession, a John Eastman or Jeffrey Clark, where Jeffrey Clark was disbarred or referred for disbarment because of legal theory that he was discussing with a client. He didn't even file anything. He didn't sign anything. He didn't anything. He had a legal idea that he found offensive. Yeah. Yeah. It's a thought crime.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the legal profession, right? Which is that is mind-boggling, because when you consider that, like, defense attorneys, a lot of people think of them as despicable, right? Because they're going to do things like defend OJ, or you know, Obama will have a defense attorney eventually, hopefully, fingers crossed, if there is a God. We generally see this. How could you possibly defend? Well, you know, who else did that? Was Kash Patel. And he talks about that in his book, Government Gangsters, which I have right here. finished it on book club a few weeks ago. And he talks about how when he went into the South Florida prosecutor's office, West Palm Beach, I think, prosecutor's office that he was in, he very quickly found that the distasteful people of society, that people in that prosecutorial office, in the public defender's office, they didn't want to touch those cases. They didn't want to touch the defense of people that in the court of public opinion would have already been deemed guilty. So Cash says he took those cases on because in the United States of America, everybody deserves the best defense that they have. And if the system violates the rights of the accused must walk free. That was the axiom of law for a long time in America. But in the past, 50 years, it's been inverted and it's messed up. And we see that come to it's glaring in the case of Tina Peters.
This is, it's kind of like it's almost like the New York playbook with Trump, where they where they change the statute of limitations in order to specifically get him.
Yeah.
And I think it's like nobody sees this playbook. Like, it's interesting how everybody just is a go along, get along. You know what I mean? You're watching this take place in a practice that you've spent your life, pursuing, and you're watching this happen in real time, and you just well, who cares? It's a special place in hell for these people.
Yeah, it's like that first they came for poem, right? It's, oh, it doesn't impact me. Yeah, it's funny you bring up New York as a comparison, because Democrat leaders in Colorado have been talking about Mamdani, and we need candidates like Mamdani.
Yo, this is
we already have enough communists. So no.
Well, here's what I find fascinating about him is his biggest supporters were liberal, rich white people. So I don't get it. I had to ask somebody, how much taxation, how much of people's money do you want them to part with? Right?
All of the money.
Yeah, I don't get it. So it's like, well, then you've So then when you finally destroy the incentive for people to go out and earn, because they're like, well, fuck it. We're not going to be able to keep any of it anyway.
Yeah.
So now, now that you not just earn, but produce, because other people have to consume. So once you've eliminated that, then what? Now where are we? You know what I'm saying?
Oh, shit.
Hold on.
Look out.
Trouble is growing. What's up?
Trouble has arrived.
I'm outside.
I can
tell. And I like cookies.
It looks great. It looks a little stormy.
There is a storm brewing.
Are you in Denver?
Arvieta.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
What y'all talking about, Willis?
I don't know if you can hear his sound is low as per usual, but he just played the X-Files song for you.
Excellent.
There you go.
Now I can hear. Thank you. That is my favorite series ever in the history of life.
Where are you?
I'd probably hold up on a rewatch too.
What are you doing by the highway?
Oh no, this is like Wadsworth.
You're telling me that
just a road, Aaron, not a highway, just a road.
I ain't been there in years.
You were born here.
Hold on. I don't spend my money going to communist states. That's not what we do. That's not what I do. It's like telling me, hey, what are you doing for vacation? I don't know. Maybe we should go to Cuba. Let's go to Cuba.
Right. Like, no, right.
No.
North Korea is
waste money.
North Korea is great this time of year. You know, it's a nuclear winter. Let's go skiing. Yep. Like, no.
Yeah.
No.
Libya? We could go to Benghazi for
open break. Slave markets.
Fall break in Benghazi.
Nah. They still have open slave markets. I don't feel like it.
Oh man, you ain't trying to partake? You ain't got your paddle for bidding?
Nope.
Oh, shit.
you got your paddle?
Right. I'd like to say that we do not support the buying and selling of people on this show or this network, and opinions expressed are not necessarily the opinions held or endorsed by.
Speak for yourself.
Maxie, because your actual Maxine voice is pretty good, but you're like you've abandoned it. You've abandoned it for demon.
Because Maxine is a different character.
A demon.
Maxine is the demon.
Is the demon.
Is anybody going to talk about the elephant in the room?
Like, oh, what's the elephant? What are you ranting about?
I know the elephant. Yes, I know the elephant. It's all those chicks on TikTok mad at Sydney Sweeney. Elephants.
No, I already did that.
We did that one already.
Oh, okay.
Mark Elias looks exactly like Rachel Levine.
Yo, I gotta
come
go.
Come on,
man. I gotta go.
Did you?
Come on, man.
We have a side by side on that because you are not wrong.
Can I get a comment?
They could be related. I've never seen them in the same room together, though. Have you? No,
it's
I haven't.
The resemblance
either.
Is striking.
We used to say the same thing about
find it.
We used to say the same thing about Lil Bow Wow and Lil Mama. We're like, they look alike. We've never seen them in the same room. They're the same person. We're convinced now.
I forgot about
we're gonna that. We're gonna pull these up together.
Please
hurry up.
I gotta find there we go. Okay. So
find
there's
it.
That one. And we find Rachel Levine.
Stay away from the highway.
Cause I think she's right.
Come on.
Are you really gonna
side by side? Unmistakable.
I can't do them side by side, but I can go one after the other. All right. So here's Mark Elias. Right.
He looks like a thumb.
This is Mark Elias. And then
Jesus Christ.
That's
my cue.
Or this one.
Uh-huh. I tell you.
This could be
they
a pull
are one and the same.
Karen. Karen is on track for a Pulitzer for breaking this story. This is the scandal of the century.
Like and subscribe.
Mark Elias is actually involved in the scandal of the century, though. Last week, in fact, that video is one of my favorite moments of Mark Elias of all time. Let's just hear what he has to say here.
Why?
I'm imploring. Like, honestly, I'm just imploring the media. Do not report this as a legitimate investigation. What does the media do? And I am imploring. Like, honestly, I'm just imploring the media. Do not report this as a legitimate investigation.
So he's talking about the grand conspiracy, the investigation into Clapper and Comey initially, which seems to be expanding to Obama and Clinton and Brennan and all of the people. But why wouldn't Mark Elias want the media to report this? Well, at the center, one of the key overt acts in the grand conspiracy is the Steele dossier. The Steele dossier was negotiated by Perkins Coie, and Mark Elias was a partner at Perkins Coie and oversaw that area of the practice at the time. Shortly after he left and started Elias Law, and you know, didn't do so much with the Clinton campaign and foundation and DNC anymore. He focused more on threatening elected officials if they dared question election results for the past several years. But he is smack dab front and center in the grand conspiracy. We've only really talked about the elected officials that are on the hook for this, right? The intelligence people, the, you know, Senate intelligence community people. There's the latest information in the grand conspiracy is that foreign intelligence basically called Russiagate. Foreign intelligence said the Clinton campaign is going to manipulate this. And the foreign intelligence gave it to U.S. intelligence, and U.S. intelligence buried it and participated in the conspiracy. So that's what's going on right now. It is important to realize we haven't even gotten into the non-governmental actors in this grand conspiracy yet. And Mark Elias is smack dab in the middle of it. He seems more panicked in that video. And the whole interview is really good. People should see it if they haven't. But where he's basically, I am imploring you please don't report this as a serious investigation. We can't possibly allow the American people to think that this is a serious investigation. Well, guess what, buddy? It is a serious investigation, and it's well documented, and everybody understands that your role as the key lawyer that was the go-between, right, the pass-through for the fake intelligence and for the, you know, central to the meeting of the minds, for the acts that launched it all. The Steele dossier is really important because everybody knew it was fake and they pretended it was real. That, and by everybody, I mean the parties involved, the intelligence community, the media, the NGOs, the lawyers, they're all on the hook for this, and it's not going away. Well, they can throw up as many Roblox as they want. It's not going away.
Now, I've seen people asking questions about the immunity of Obama with regard to this, but I think he might. I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think he's gonna be put in cuffs, but I do believe that possibly the people surrounding him will, because they don't.
You say Obama?
Yes, Hussein. Yeah, Hussein. I don't think he's gonna be put in cuffs, but I think it's a very strong possibility that the individuals that aided and abetted in this nonsense we'll see a day in court. That's a fact.
Yeah, the only way I think he can be put in cuffs is if he is impeached and convicted in the Senate first, because that is the constitutional process.
They need to get that over with then. They need to get that done.
Yeah, that's the constitutional process to nullify his immunity. And if he is convicted in the Senate after being impeached in the House, then he can face criminal charges in a court of law. That's in the Constitution. I don't think it's likely either, but I also think that he's a puppet. And I think that the people that are behind him, surrounding him, as you said, those people don't have immunity. Strzok and Page and Comey and McCabe and the FBI, they don't have immunity.
Was Comey given a pardon?
Doesn't matter. Those part of the auto pen is an overt act in the conspiracy.
Well, yeah, but you
the pardons are
that,
null and void.
But you got to prove those pardons are null and void. See, now look at
you
look
have
the,
to do
look
it.
At the, look at the nonsense that we got to go through in order.
Yeah, you like, have to just, challenge
hold
it.
On,
but
hold on. Let me just.
All right. Well, you find your thing, but let me just tell you, this. Rand Paul is talking about that right now, challenging Fauci's pardon, taking Fauci to court and challenging his pardon, because if we can get Fauci's pardon nullified on the grounds that the pardons are invalid, then we can basically call them all invalid. So yeah, I think that's part of it. Sucks. Like you said, look at what we have to go through. It sucks.
This don't happen in other countries. Like, you do wrong in other countries, they're chopping your head off. Like, what the heck are we doing here?
Arbitrarily too, though. They're arbitrarily chopping your head off for shit that you say. Our country preserves and protects the rights of the accused. They have to have due process, and they have to have it in the appropriate way so that it's going to hold up.
Stop.
The punishment has to hold up, Darren.
It's bullshit because nobody.
You have a full blown dictator.
Look. You go to China. Like, if you fuck up, that's your ass.
I don't want to look more like China. They have social credit score, way too many people, and they kill all the baby girls.
Look, to some degree, we need a social credit score too, because these people are bankrupt as fuck.
We just need to hold the people that are manipulating the financial system accountable.
We don't.
It's a new age, buddy. We're headed into the golden age. We're exposing all of the secrets.
The golden age is financial. The golden age is not
judicial.
The
golden age is all of it.
The golden age is financial. It's not judicial. Because until you start locking people up, I don't believe it. I believe the financial benefits of it. Absolutely. I think it's going to be fantastic for everybody's pockets. But as far as getting some justice out of this bitch, and look, Trump is not going to do it. He's not going to do it. And
he's going to talk about it, though.
He's going to talk about it a lot. He's going to yap about it.
He posted that meme saying, until this happens.
Did you say a meme?
She said meme.
Yeah.
It's just meme.
Until this happens, nothing will change. And it's that meme of all these criminals behind bars. And he's right.
It's not going to happen.
We need scouts.
What's the play then, Darren? Darren, what is the play to continually rile up the base while expanding the base to be more and more people in the United States of America, to continually expose all of this corruption, all of this crime, all of this fraud, and then what?
Nothing?
Truly, yes. Nothing.
No,
Look, hold on.
It subverts the entire plan. It subverts the entire... If you want to restore public trust, there must be accountability.
They don't care about public trust. You want to know why? I'm going to tell you why. Because you have no control. You have no power. That green piece of paper determines everything all of you watching right now do.
So
period. It runs the world. It runs it. It runs your whole life.
I have it on good authority that who runs the world is girls.
It's a reason you get up in the morning, put that uniform on, and go to work. It's the reason you put that name tag on. None of, you don't run shit. You see what I'm saying? And they prove it to you by telling you, get your ass up, go do this, and work for that little green piece of paper that we just continuously print and make you think that you've all...
You don't think
all,
there's
on,
any change
was,
happening
I
in
wasn't
that respect?
Finished.
Well, look,
it's that green piece of paper that makes you get up every morning and be productive. And the thing about it is, without it, they tell you you get nothing. You see what I'm saying? It's incentivized you to go along. And we've all collectively signed a contract. Like, yes, this is valuable. So yes, you get nothing. You're gonna get no results out of this. This is all yada 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 yada. We saw that with Cash Patel and Dan Bongino sitting there like, there's absolutely nothing here. Like, come on, man. Like, get out of here. It's over.
It's amazing to me how much credence you put in the news headlines.
Look, I don't care. It's not about the headlines. It's about
it
reality.
Sure is.
I know. I can see what's going on. Like, I'm 40 years old. There's nothing has changed. Nothing. None of these people have been put in jail. None of them.
Yet.
Ever. It's never going to happen. It's too much. It's too big of a monster and too big of a system to be preserved in order to make it like for that to happen.
We didn't think we'd get this far either.
Yeah.
Look,
I don't see.
I got to push back a little bit.
Yeah, go ahead.
But we got to have scalps and they know it. That's why we're at the point where if we don't start to see people arrested, and I don't mean in his third year, in the ninth month. I mean, like now.
But here's the thing, Karen.
Getting
the
economy
the done.
Started.
After he's gone.
Let her
over.
Finish.
After he's gone.
Well, no,
over.
There. I don't want to look that far. That makes me
you
sad.
You have to, though. You have to.
That makes me very, very sad because nobody is like him and nobody is going to have this big of an effect. I don't care who they are. J.D. Vance. Nobody is going to be that man. So he knows we got to juice the economy. There's got to be some scalps. And he needs to make some deals and figure out, okay, who's going? Somebody's got to go on the chopping block because the base, not only are y'all trying to introduce fucking amnesty legislation, but now there's still nobody being perp walked. Nah, y'all gonna have to talk amongst yourselves, figure out whose scalps are going on the chopping block.
Karen,
we
you
need
know what?
Scalps.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you
You're
something.
Right about that, Darren.
Hang on a second. Hold that thought. We got to hit our last two sponsors. And so hold your thought, Darren. When we come back, we'll come back to you. And then I'll probably disagree with you again. Hold for a second.
I'm a naturopathic doctor. We are in the world of medicine very acquainted with many modalities, but probably the one most familiar with everybody would be two things, homeopathy and herbs, mm-hmm. maybe some nutrients too, you know, vitamins, minerals, that kind of thing. Now, we do know a lot about the drugs because we have to find out what drug you're taking affects you and what nutrient it depletes you of, because they most every drug pharmacy product will deplete something. So we have been trained and we have a database that we can check into that says this is going to take your B12 away. The pharmaceutical company cannot patent organic substances made by the body. You're not born short of Advil. You know, you're not born short of Ritalin.
Yeah.
You can be born short of insulin. Right. Mm-hmm. The answers to staying healthy and keeping away from even SARS or any of those things getting into you is staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You and I get sick because our terrain gets out of balance. Well, that's the same thing in the soil. You and I are made from this thing called dirt. And when we get out of balance, we have the same thing happen. Weeds start to grow in our body. And that's what we want in our body. We want nutrients that we don't understand how to get well enough yet because our suppliers are lacking knowledge and nutrient density foods. So
this is what drove you to develop this was your knowledge of this, right?
Right. You know that.
Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
And we're back. I just got to say, I think I might have been born short of Ritalin. Ritalin deficient. It's possible. All right, Darren, you were about to talk about how nobody's ever going to be held accountable for anything.
No, they're not. I mean, financially, Trump is a wizard. Like he knows money. He knows economics. I'll give him that. He's an animal when it comes to that. And ain't nobody fucking with him on it. But as far as this accountability thing, look, I'm sorry. I have a very hard time believing anybody's going to be like, what are we going to do? Have Senate hearings again? We're going to have congressional hearings. They're just going to come up and ask some questions. And all they got to do is sit there and plead the fifth. Like this is it's a joke. It's a joke. All it is a show. Like it's like Chuck Schumer going out there and reading. We need to.
What is the purpose of those hearings?
They're stupid. They're stupid.
No, but the constitutional purpose of them. What is the purpose?
I don't freaking know. But they amount to nothing. Amount to absolutely
not necessarily.
Nothing.
The purpose of them is to build the record. And
Hunter Biden is still walking around free.
To make referrals.
Make sense. Make it make sense.
To make referrals to the DOJ, right? They have done that on multiple fronts. They have issued subpoenas on multiple fronts, and they have announced criminal investigations and pending indictments into former members of the Obama administration. The thing that you have to remember about these hearings, because I know there's a lot of people who are super down on, and I'm not a huge fan of Congress, but there's people that are like, oh, Jim Jordan does nothing but talk. Jim Jordan spent 4 years as the House Judiciary head building the record. At the time that he was building the record, justice wasn't possible. Merrick Garland ran the DOJ and the courts are co-opted. You have to have the record at a time when justice is possible. I think that's what's happening with the Epstein stuff. That's what's happening with the grand conspiracy stuff is that up until this point, justice wasn't possible. Seeing unprecedented steps being taken now that have never happened before.
Stop it. Justice was always possible, Ash. How? Always possible.
How? Reasonable prosecutor would bring the case, Darren. Yeah, prosecutor.
I'm looking at the grand scheme of possibility. Justice is always possible. The problem is that nobody cares enough, and the machine has to keep rolling. Okay.
Holding the Obama administration accountable was not possible while the head of justice was Merrick Garland. That was not a possibility
because he knew about it. And here's the thing about it. But he knew about it. He could have been a whistleblower. Why not?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? These people are.
I'll just say this, and then we're gonna give Karen the last word on the topic. I'll say this: in January 20th, 2017, in a speech written by Steve Bannon and Stephen Miller, President Trump said, "What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people." And he said, "Today's ceremony has very special meaning because we are not just transferring power from one party to another. We are giving power back to you, the people. That does not happen with the snap of a finger. It requires unwinding an administrative state that is so deeply embedded in the bureaucracy, and it took decades to get that way. It's going to take a little bit more than 6 months to make it all go away." Karen, go ahead.
I agree with that. There is the unwinding.
I'll put that back up there.
Several things. We didn't think we would get to this point. You know, we didn't think that we would get to the point that these people would be nervous about anything. They have chosen to mock us this whole time. And like Mark Elias did just right there, That was a nervousness. That wasn't just the, mock conspiracy theory, tinfoil hat. This was
Should we call him Admiral
shit.
Elias?
Yep. Yep. That is Admiral, that is Levine, man. You can't tell me that's not Levine. If
Admiral
he put a damn wig on, I would be vindicated. I'm very impatient myself, but we didn't come this far to fail, and I'm riding on faith with this one, honestly.
That's all you can
you're
do.
Right, we can't depend on these politicians, and you're right, Darren, these people have been sitting here this whole time. They've had the information, but look, everything Senator Chuck Grassley that he's been collecting, he's been working on this for years. Everything that, who was the guy back in President Trump's first term, his first attorney general, who was
Sessions?
Sessions. All of these things are coming back now. And now you've got Mark Elias panicking. You've got James Comey panicking. He deleted his entire Twitter. He made his LinkedIn private. Like, these people are panicking. They really are panicking now because they're starting to see, oh shit, wait a minute now. Tulsi Gabbard is releasing some shit, wait. And they're gonna start turning on each other. And it's gonna make the job a lot easier. So I don't know, I guess we just have to wait and see, but more is going to happen with us in charge this time. They're the ones who get to squirm. President Trump said it. He is the hunter, not the hunted anymore.
Agreed.
I hope, let me tell you something. Because it's the last time he can be in that position, I know, right? 2028.
Nah, them bastards owe me 4 years. They owe but me I, four. But they I, stole I, four. I, they stole my motherfucking diamonds. I want my diamonds back. In the form of a four-year presidency. Thank you very much.
Let me tell you something. You don't get results without some sort of revolution, right? So I look at it like
going through a revolution.
Yeah, I look at it, no, I mean a real one. Like
is a real one.
I mean it's like I understand the people are involved with their voices, but and the voices are big. Don't get me wrong. I tell you what, YouTube and Rumble have literally cooked an entire party. independent content creators have destroyed the donkeys. Okay, I was blown away. I was like, wow, man, this is a full on onslaught, and they got nobody cool to come to their defense. It's amazing, but I want to see some cuffs. That's what I need.
I think
to see.
You will.
I need to see some cuffs, man.
Yeah, well,
and
we're
big
gonna
ones, not little administrative assistants.
Yeah, I mean, I'm talking like them federal joints. I need
like the shackles, hands tied to feet, maybe a giant ball so they
I need them Seacock cuffs.
Maybe one of those Silence of the Lambs masks.
Yep.
On their faces. Yes. Yeah, I like that. Yep. All right, we're gonna have to leave it there because we are just about out of time. I do believe in justice. We're going to try, Karen and I are going to try and convince Darren to spit out the black pill when we get off the air. The one other story that we didn't have time to get to, and we'll hit it
racist.
Next.
No.
We'll hit it next week. And maybe try and get either one of the parties or one of the attorneys on. But it was reported this week that the art club case, this was Aaron Lee's daughter invited to an after-school art club, and it was actually a gender awareness type of situation. That case has been, you know, going through the judicial process for a while, kicked out and refiled and brought up. It was reported this week that it has been added to the SCOTUS docket for the next term, which is very exciting. I saw a fact check or a community note on X saying, oh no, it's only been filed. It hasn't been added. Now the case was filed a while ago. So it's weird that that would be news right now. And the press release and the Daily Signal article definitely say that it has been added to SCOTUS docket. I can't find it on the docket. I went and looked today and I don't see it. So we'll figure out what's going on with that and hopefully get one of the parties or one of the attorneys on next week to discuss with us. aside from that, we are going to get out of here because we have to deprogram Darren.
You ain't got to deprogram me. I'm fine.
We might have to.
I'm doing just fine.
A little bit.
Jesus loves me.
He does. Yeah. He sure does. All right, everybody. Well, you can see where to follow us. Vaccine Waters 25. Are you changing that up soon?
Why are you worried about what I'm doing over here?
Because you told me you're going to change your handle. Like
just because I said it, don't 3 months mean ago it's going to happen now.
All right. Well, Vaccine Waters.
Like those arrests.
25. Real Karen.
Reclaiming my time. Reclaiming my time.
Hold on. We got to do this correctly.
Give me my time back. I want it now.
Oh, okay. That one's good too.
Yeah. No, I think you missed the first part, Karen. Vaccine Waters is the demon inside of Maxine Waters. So
let me inside the building. I'm a congresswoman.
Where's Elon?
Where the fuck is Elon?
How it goes. All right, everybody. We will be back here next week for your midweek lunch break in the most serious show in the Centennial State, treating the news with the level of respect it deserves. Thanks for tuning in. Please smash the like button wherever you're watching us, and we will see you guys next time. Cheers.